Welcome to Answers from the Attic, the podcast where we explore the unasked questions about today's headlines to empower you for the future. I'm your host, Agni Sharma. Let's take a look through the attic. Technology is at the vanguard of our quarantine experience, sustaining our daily activities and dominating headlines. But there's a missing piece. What's happening with autonomous vehicles? We'll look at driverless technology in the context of person-to-person contact. Good morning, everyone, and I hope you're keeping busy in quarantine. Now, if this period of isolation has shown us one thing, that's the true power of technology. Tech companies are arguably leading the charge and upholding the world as we know it, and by extension, bolstering our mental health. Even with this mammoth disruption to normal functions, our access to technology has made this transition as seamless as possible. The rise of Zoom and the rekindling of house party, amongst others, has prevented social distancing from becoming complete isolation. And all the while, delivery services ensure we can still get the comfort food we crave in such times. At home in pajamas, watching movies, and having food brought to your doorstep? That sounds like my ideal Sunday, at least before this mess. But that image hasn't really changed, rather than just been extended. The convenience of technology has made it easier than ever to survive and even thrive within the comfort of our own spaces. So, how have we made use of this convenience? The Morning Brew's Emerging Tech column put together a COVID traffic report for the month of March. Here are some insights. Comcast reported that peak online traffic is up 60% in some areas, while Verizon stated that a mean of 9 billion texts were sent and 800 million wireless calls placed daily, with the duration of calls increasing by a third. Unsurprisingly, a lot of traffic was centered around video conferencing, with a 1,000% year-on-year increase for the last week in March, with Zoom specifically growing from 10 to 200 million daily active users. Even when we're off the phone, we're still having some quality screen time. New game downloads are up 80%, while platforms such as Roblox and streaming services like Twitch have seen an uptick in users, as has Netflix and similar competitors with streaming minutes per week. Demand for grocery delivery services has grown, with Instacart and Walmart now pledging to employ a few hundred thousand new employees between them. Although surprisingly, restaurant delivery demand seems to have declined amid concerns of contact with the virus. Or perhaps we're finally trying to graduate from Kraft mac and cheese and hot Cheetos. But while all this technology has enriched our stay-at-home experience, we can't help but notice a prior headline grabber that has been outside the field of view lately. Autonomous vehicles. This entire concept is often polarizing and continues to be seen through a Hollywoodized, sci-fi, generally unreal lens. A recent AAA survey found that only 12% of Americans trust riding in AVs, while another 28% remain unsure about driverless technology altogether. However, like many of our other assumptions and preconceptions, these beliefs are subject to change amid such unprecedented happenings. It's safe to say that we're in the realm of new possibilities. Is this the time of accelerated adoption of AVs? Now, before we think about this, it's important to approach this from the right framework. So, let's hypothetically categorize the impact that these vehicles have across four segments, which include transport, delivery, data collection, and care or medicine. Transport is likely the area we're most familiar with, and it seems to be the focus of most testing nowadays. Now, this segment will ultimately allow for greater social distancing and more risk-free movement, but it also is the most impacted by the pandemic currently. The aim for transport is not just driverless movement from point A to B, but an augmented passenger experience that optimizes comfort and safety. This caveat requires much more testing, which requires one key resource that's restricted right now: people. Waymo, Cruise, and most other AV companies have halted testing amid virus spread concerns. and since we're likely to face a delay in seeing the tangible impact of this, we can jump a step ahead and look at delivery. AVs focused on delivery don't have to worry about shaping cabin dynamics around passenger experience and must focus on optimizing for utility. This function seems particularly useful right now. Online delivery demand, as we saw, is surging, with customers increasingly opting for contactless options. Let's rephrase that. People want their essentials with as little human contact as possible. We have just set the perfect stage for this technology to follow suit and seamlessly slot in. We can already see examples of this working with projects such as Neolix in China. But despite this indication that driverless delivery is useful and perhaps inevitable, it faces the challenge of regulation, which begs the question, could we best leverage AVs if they're controlled by public agencies? Driverless technology could meet government need for accurate, regular data to formulate and take appropriate action. While a traditional boots-on-the-ground approach isn't currently feasible, why not substitute wheels on the ground? AVs are not inherently biohazards and hence carry much lower risk, an ideal substitute for frontline public workers. Now, even if we enforced a draconian quarantine like some countries, these workers would still be needed at their posts and continue to remain at risk. We see this specifically among medical professionals, more so those at drive-through centers. In an attempt to help lift this burden, we see a push for at-home testing, where kits will be sent through the mail. But what if we took this a step further and turned this concept, push drive-through testing, to become drive-to-you testing? We could leverage AVs for at-home tests, mobile sites that provide guided doorstep testing methods, as well as safe and quick transport of samples comparative to typical postal mail. And a part of this process is already in play. Mayo Clinic currently has employed 4 autonomous shuttles for testing sample transport between sites and labs. By now, we've seen an example from China, we've seen an example from within the US of how autonomous vehicles are being leveraged. So why don't we see these applications elsewhere? This question ultimately boils down to policy. AVs are the future. Expected to reduce 94% of road accidents means that they're the rational choice. Shouldn't policy make way for such innovation? But what about protecting the thousands of jobs for delivery partners, frontline workers, amongst others? Those remaining opportunities that are directly threatened by automation. While it may be the right time to think about the impact of AVs, is it the right time to shape policy? As it stands in the US, the legislative branch has failed to come to a consensus on autonomous vehicles. For example, the Self-Drive Act of 2017 passed in the House of Representatives, but its companion bill, AV Start, failed in the Senate. Since proposed legislation requires passage in both houses, the bills failed. Attempts have since been made to modify and reintroduce similar AV legislation, but have met the same fate. Join us for more after the break. Welcome back, everybody. Excited to be joined by Jeremy Strickland. Jeremy, thanks for joining us. Could you start off by telling us a bit more about yourself?
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here today to talk about something that I love. So my name is Jeremy Strickland. I'm a sales innovation manager at LinkedIn. And then outside of the 9-to-5, I'm an AV policy researcher and speaker. Prior to LinkedIn, I got my graduate school degrees from the Kellogg School of Management and the Harvard Kennedy School, where I wrote my dissertation on autonomous vehicle regulatory policy and federalism.
Jeremy, thanks for joining us. Could you start off by giving us some insight into why this topic of AVs is important and why we should specifically care about regulation and policy around it right now?
Absolutely. So AVs are a real passion area of mine, not only from a research perspective, but also from kind of a business and policy governance perspective. If we just look broadly at the autonomous vehicles market, it's going to experience more than 10x growth, growing from around $50 billion today to more than $550 billion over the next 5 to 6 years based on current estimates. When we think about the factors that are either going to accelerate or slow AV adoption, three things come to mind. One, consumer choice and preferences. Specifically, how will consumers embrace or reject AVs, and how will those preferences or use cases change over time? Two, technological readiness. Will the technological progress accelerate or hinder the rate of innovation? And how quickly can AV providers develop technology for all terrain and conditions at scale? And then finally, my area of focus is public policy or governance. My team felt that this area had really been overlooked relative to the prior two areas. Specifically, what we were interested in exploring is, will public policy facilitate or inhibit the testing of autonomous vehicles? And how can testing be done responsibly? In addition, how will the public sector capture value, what we call public value, from AVs to benefit the larger public good?
So Jeremy, you mentioned the area specifically of your preference and expertise around policy. Could you give us a little bit of an understanding of kind of what that policy looks like today?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we think about autonomous vehicle regulatory policy, it is largely distributed across the three levels of a typical federalist government. At the national level, within the executive branch, the U.S. Department of Transportation has provided AV guidance. This guidance is a series of non-binding best practices that it encourages AV providers to adopt. Transitioning to the state level, what we see there is a lot more individual fiefdoms, with each state having its own set of rules and regulations that ultimately trickle down to the cities and municipalities themselves. Finally, at the municipal level, what we see is much more diversity, with cities and municipalities taking a much more self-interested approach, often requiring specific guidelines such as geofencing, so refining testing to a specific area, or for a particular AV test pilot to have a social good or purpose, such as offering shuttle rides downtown or medicine or pharmaceutical delivery. The thing to keep in mind is, across all three of these levels of government, what we're seeing is a mismatch of regulation that's making it difficult for AV providers to take the learnings in one particular municipality and translate it to another municipality in a different state.
So Jeremy, you see nowadays, especially with the coronavirus, a different approach to this. A lot of companies are pulling back their testing. A lot of companies are unable to kind of jump into the process as they want to. A lot of this comes down to the way regulation is happening over specific municipalities. But arguably now is the time where we need testing and we need this futuristic technology to have new use cases, to test out these new use cases. And with the empty streets, now is a better time than any we've seen to actually test these. What's your take on this, and how do we go about this while still putting the health and safety of our employees first?
Absolutely. And so I think you hit on a few key points there. This time, you know, we want to put the health of our family, our company, our friends first and foremost. At the same time, how can we also responsibly continue to test autonomous vehicles? Like any major challenge, it always presents an opportunity if we think about it in the right way. So while cities are struggling to provide critical PPE and other medical resources to medical personnel, to members of its community, and even to facilitate with transportation to and from hospitals, I think that autonomous vehicle providers could play a very active role in this process while still testing and getting the data that they need to refine, one, their technology, and two, potentially their business model. Let's talk about a few examples, right? Previously, autonomous vehicles have stayed away from major cities such as Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, because these cities are just very untenable to test in, whether it's weather conditions, whether it's the amount of traffic in a downtown area. We tend to see testing happen in smaller cities. Now is the perfect opportunity to test in some of these larger cities. And in doing so, we can begin to think about the ways to create not only private value in terms of the data collected, but also public value. How can we help connect people to the critical resources that we need? For example, Maybe that's using some of the Waymo vehicles to transport PPE from a warehouse outside of New York City to the general hospital downtown. What role can AV providers play in that environment? There are no limitations that basically say for this type of transportation that an AV provider could not play that role. What we're actually seeing is that public policy and governance is simply just preventing AV providers from playing that role. And so what I would encourage both municipal governments and AV providers to do is to think of innovative solutions that create both public and private value for citizens and for the company.
You know, it's an interesting point, this idea of prevention from regulators who need as much help and innovation right now when it comes to combating something like this. Who do you think is the catalyst in that relationship? Is it up to regulators to wake up and take a leap of faith and say, hey, we should try this? Is it up to AV providers to push back and show examples of how this could work? Or is it up to that middleman, companies who could use the technology and who kind of play the role between regulators and these providers to change the way we look at the whole system?
Yeah, I think that's the really kind of the crux of the debate, right? And the short answer is it can really generate from all three. Thinking about a little bit of what I know from AV providers, I think that they can definitely be a bit more assertive in the types of solutions that they offer to a local or a municipal government to go in to say, hey, we understand that you need transportation of critical PPE supplies from warehouses to specific locations. Allow our autonomous vehicles to do that for you. Additionally, thinking about how we can transport not only goods, but also people, getting them to hospitals, getting them the proper care that is needed in order to remain healthy in this situation. So I think AV providers can be a bit more assertive. At the same time, I'm very sympathetic to local and public policy officials, particularly at the state and local level. They have so many different things on their plate that thinking about ways to leverage autonomous vehicles probably is not at the forefront of their mind. However, I would encourage them to start thinking in that way. There are only so many things that we can think about from a public health perspective. So, what are some of the technologies that are existing now that we can use to better serve our citizens? And then finally, I think it is the responsibility of companies either directly in the autonomous vehicles area or in tangential areas to start to think about ways that they can adapt or change their business model to one, serve the public good, and two, continue to collect the data that they need to refine their business model. I think I look at it as just a slight pivot to something new that provides additional value for a lot more people than just a traditional ride sharing service.
Where do you see the biggest gap that can be filled? Could this be used for applications to the extent of at-home testing or ambulance services and treatment wards? Or do you see the gaps that need to be filled still focused more on day-to-day consumer and commercial activities?
Yeah, absolutely. I think every municipality is going to have a different need, right? And what I mean by that are some are going to have adequate ambulance and transportation services available. However, thinking about where I grew up, which is a little bit more of a rural area, sometimes it can take a very long time for an ambulance to get to our house or a neighbor's house. I think autonomous vehicles can definitely play a role in those type of services. So the transportation of people for key medical services, particularly during times of need. I know that that still would require a paramedic in the back of the ambulance, but it could potentially solve some of those issues, particularly if an autonomous vehicle or an ambulance could be a little bit more on a roaming basis. I think there also is an ability that autonomous vehicles can play to transport goods to and from locations. Often when we think about the transportation of goods, it's a first last mile problem. Autonomous vehicles and where their proof point or test case is really going to be super useful is going to be all of the miles in between that first and last mile. Right now, you know, the long-haul truck drivers are limited to a certain number of hours and miles driven per day. If we go to an autonomous vehicle regulatory environment in which there's autonomous trucking, we could potentially run those trucks 24/7 with first and last mile delivery being done by an actual human. In addition to running more supplies from here and from point A to point B and keeping that clock kind of perpetually going, it's also going to minimize the contact because it could conceivably be very easy for an autonomous vehicle truck to go from Atlanta to LA, unhook its load, and then ultimately have the last mile human driver pull up, load up, and then deliver that to the local Walmart or CVS. What I would really encourage municipal leaders to think about are, what are the needs that are currently not being met, whether it's transportation of people or of supplies, or whether it's emergency medical services, and how can I potentially partner with an AV provider to help me fill that gap?
I really like the first mile, last mile model you mentioned. What it brings to mind is this concern we have of employment. When we think about automation and technology, it's kind of an all or nothing approach, where now with delivery drivers and these more day-to-day jobs becoming more essential, we worry about introducing AVs kind of wiping out that last pillar that the economy is standing on. To what extent do you see this, rather than replacing jobs, being more of an augmentation of our experience?
Yeah, I think that's a question that I've heard a few times. So with that in mind, where do we see autonomous vehicles kind of going here? It is much easier for them to do long-haul trucking type transportation than it is for that first and last mile. Basically, refueling, things of that nature become much easier and require much less effort than loading and unloading for the first and last mile. The first and last mile gets really complex, because that's when we start interacting at this municipal level. It gets much more challenging to think about how we're interacting with not only other cars on the road, but the digital infrastructure, and then also people and other drivers. I don't foresee there being a large change in basically the displacement of workers. I think the workers are just going to shift. There's always going to be some sort of long-haul trucking industry, at least in the foreseeable future, that leverages basically the actual human in a seat. With that in mind, I think over time, as AVs become better and more accustomed to doing those long-haul routes, we're going to see more and more of those truck drivers shift to focusing on first and last mile. And I actually think this is a huge opportunity to them. Having grown up with friends who have, you know, parents who are long-haul truck drivers, one of the things they say is they often miss their parents who aren't at home. By being able to focus more on the first and last mile deliveries for trucking services, it gives them that ability to go home at night. So I think that for every, you know, kind of negative people can say of potential automation of jobs away, there's potentially a positive here as well.
Jeremy, I guess all this boils down to a question of the future, right? What should we do as municipalities, as participants in policies, to prepare for this future, to help us benefit the most from it?
So I think that's a key question that a lot of municipal governments and officials are starting to think through. Even more. Everybody wants to, or most municipalities want to be involved with an AV pilot, but they want to do so responsibly and in a way that not only generates value for the AV provider, but also for their local municipality. Whether that's creating public value in terms of the transportation of goods, people, and services, or whether that's just economic activity. So with that in mind, what my co-authors and I found when we conducted our research is essentially six recommendations when considering to run an AV test with an AV provider. So with that in mind, I'm just going to quickly go through those. The first is to implement a flexible curb use model with dynamic pricing. The hottest real estate market in the next 5 to 10 years or in an autonomous vehicle environment is going to be the curb. So thinking about how do we responsibly find the balance between parking, food delivery, pickup, drop off, et cetera. And I think here is where we should really rely on kind of the laws of supply and demand and create a dynamic pricing model using some of the new digital tools that we have in order to appropriately price access to that curb depending on time of day, day of week, et cetera. The second would be to create an AV piloting checklist. So for example, we often hear of the term go to market. How about a come to market strategy? So if you want to test in our local municipality or our city, here are the 10 or so things that we require you to agree to. This could be anything from, you know, prohibiting digital redlining, which I'll discuss in a minute, or agreeing to a general data sharing model. The third would be thinking about geofencing, particularly to the urban core. When testing autonomous vehicles, we don't fully really want them going anywhere and everywhere. We want to specifically refine them to a certain area in order to better understand and control that testing environment. So working hand in hand with the AV providers to understand what that geofenced environment looks like, and if an AV goes outside of that geofence environment, to understand why and what actions immediately need to be taken. The fourth area is prohibiting digital redlining. And in particular, we see this with the transportation of people. So one of the challenges that we identified early on with the ride-sharing industry as a whole is that often the maps of those transportation network providers would not match the actual maps of the city. So in fact, what we would see is that there would be certain pockets where it would be almost impossible to grab an Uber or a Lyft. And so what we would recommend is with these pockets to basically prevent the creation of a second map that only AV providers use, but rather make a more inclusive map that allows everyone to get rides. The fifth area would be one I've already touched on just a little bit, where there needs to be a clear discussion on all of the data that's generated, who owns it, what are the privacy standards with it, how it will be retained, and then ultimately who will get to use it and for what purpose. And there needs to be an agreement here to understand that is it anonymized data produced in aggregate, or are we going to have specific personally identifiable data that is going to be shared between municipal governments, state governments, and then AV providers. We need to have that conversation and we need to set clear standards in advance. And then finally, the last one, we often think about in order to be a bit more kind of plant forward, if you will, is taxing low occupancy or zombie cars. What we don't want in an autonomous vehicles environment is the car essentially kind of just roaming around the streets, right? Clogging up traffic, creating emissions. What we want to do is give autonomous vehicles some leeway that the municipality or the municipality and the autonomous vehicle provider can set to drive around and look for that next ride. But we want to make it reasonable so that if a ride hasn't been found after 2 minutes, the car has to go park at a specific loading area and wait until it gets its next ride or its next opportunity to transport goods. Otherwise, that car would be taxed and taxed pretty heavily for each additional minute or mile that the car is driven while looking for that next pickup or transportation opportunity. So those are the six areas that we identified that we think that municipalities may want to look into potentially when partnering with an AV provider.
Jeremy Strickland, thanks so much for your insight and input. It was great to have you on. To everyone who tuned in today, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll catch you next time. Answers from the Attic is a privately run podcast. The theme music created by Kevin McLeod and purchased from the Incompetech website. Sound effects from Zapsplash.com. Check the link in description for the website information.